Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Hey, this morning, our 11 a.m. service, we have a great privilege and treat to hear from a couple of guys who call Nations Church Belmont home. And so would you give a round of applause for Arjun, Kathleen and Previn as they come to the stage? Arjun, you're going to behave yourself this morning? Always? Right, good man. Hey, we thought we'd chat to you guys a little bit about really what this season means to each one of you, and also for those of you in the room who most of you might know some of them, some of you might know any of them, but we want to unpack a little bit about the season that we're in. So maybe Previn, we'll start with you. Previn, what does legacy kind of mean to you? What does that look like to you when we say that word? It can be daunting, can be a big word to many different people, but I guess, what's your perspective when I say the word legacy? What kind of comes to mind?
A lot of things actually come to mind, because first thing that comes to my mind is family. Things you leave for your family, and what you are doing now, how it's going to affect them in the future. Are you building a foundation that when you're no longer there, they can say, we thank Dad, we thank Mom, we thank the church for the things that we have left for them. And the other thing that comes to my mind is the corporate world thinks of these things in the same, of all these things they're going to be leaving for the future. So I think it's critical for us as children of God to be focused on and to think about what we're doing now, how is it going to affect the people who are going to come after us? Because some of the effects happen not when we're alive, but when we're no longer there and people start benefiting from, and it's the same like what Christ did, that whilst we were yet sinners, he died for us.
Yeah, beautiful.
He was thinking way, way ahead. He had seen a picture of people who didn't even love him, people who didn't even want to accept him, but he was thinking way, way ahead of anyone else,
great.
And yet he gave his life.
Yeah,
when beautiful. We didn't even love him. That's what comes to me when it comes to legacy.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. And Kathleen, what is legacy? What does that kind of mean to you?
Okay, legacy to me. Thousands of soldiers died sacrificially so that we could have freedom in our country. Here at this church years ago, some beautiful people sacrificially gave to keep the bank away from the door. And Jesus died on the cross to give me freedom. So here I am living in three kinds of freedom. How blessed am I? So that's what I want for the future, next generation.
Yeah, beautiful.
I want the kids to know all of those freedoms and to praise God and worship him, and for him to be their Saviour, their Lord and Saviour, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Kathleen, I think you've been here since I was born, is that right? Around 1987, 1988?
Oh, no, a bit later. I think it was
How
about,
much later?
I think it was about 91 or something.
90, oh, I was still born, you know, 91.
Yeah, you were a toddler.
I'm young. What does it mean to you, Arjun? What does it mean to you to kind of exist in a community of faith?
It's me.
Oh, sorry, Arjun. I'm just trying to get it. Arjun loves the mic, so don't worry. He'll grab that thing.
Wow.
What does it mean to you, Arjun, to exist in a community of faith where so many fathers and mothers maybe have gone before you?
For me, I think it gives me family to belong to. For me, like, I always had, like, a father figure present or a mother figure present. And so, I guess, having a family, a church family, that can, I guess, be that for me. And not necessarily, like, oh, yeah, you know, they're my dad, they're my mum. But, I guess, have them fill that role of that spiritual mum, that spiritual dad, that someone who can, just teach me how to be a gentleman, teach me how to be a man in the right way. Just before coming to Belmont, I approached a man in Myrie campus, part of the still same church family, named Michael, and he's part of the prayer team. And he really grew me and discipled me for the past 3 years intentionally. I've been in his house every single fortnight. And I guess for that, like having that spiritual dad, that spiritual father in my life has really helped shape me and shape the decisions I've had, you know, as a young man, you know. So, yeah, I think it's very important to have that, you know, those older generations above you where you can glean wisdom, where you can learn, where you can submit yourself to and say, yeah, look, I'm young.
Yeah.
Might not be that smart.
Yeah.
You know, I need wisdom.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it takes humility to say that.
Yeah.
But it also takes humility to approach those who are older than you and say, teach me, help me.
Yeah, of course. Because Arjun, your background, you obviously weren't always found in the house. In fact, quite the opposite, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know my story, I was actually raised Sikh. And so, my dad's Indian from Punjab. My mum's American. She took on the Sikh religion. I was raised a Sikh. And so, I had long hair, had a turban, everything. And those guys on the video just before, it's really nostalgic because that's where I got saved.
Yeah.
In the youth ministry at that civic center, 2011, you know. I guess from that started a journey for me of finding Christ, finding out who he was and just being like, okay, God, I'm all in for you. Eventually cut my hair and said, nah, I'm a Christian now, like I believe in Jesus. And I guess like if that place hadn't existed, you know, like if people hadn't sown in all those years ago for Myrie, for you know, South City Church out of Perth Christian Life Center to come about, for Nations Youth to come about, for me to find Jesus, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah,
you know, right. Belmont campus.
Yeah, yeah, right.
All these years later, so yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Hey, maybe a question for Kathleen again. What does it mean, Kathleen, to you to be a part of an environment where there is kind of a next generation, where there is, you know, our children next door that we hear usually terrorizing our kids' stuff? But what does it mean to you, mainly my kids? What does it mean to you, Kathleen, to be a part of an environment that's got the next generation coming through it?
I have two families. I have my paternal family and I have my spiritual family. And because I've been here a long time, I've seen all these kids. I was here when they were born and I've seen them grow up. And they're all the youth now, I saw, you know, most of them, I saw them grow up. And they're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. There's so much, they're precious. They're all precious, the youth and the dear little children. And it just feels like home. It really does. And these people are my family. I've got so many beautiful brothers and sisters. And it's just, it's beautiful. And I love every one of them, and I want the best for them. I want them to grow up knowing the Lord as their Lord, you know, their Saviour, and to depend on Him and to become the people that He created them to be.
Yeah, great. Amen.
In the vocation that He has created for them.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Pravin, why is it, you know, important, I guess, we speak a lot about, you know, being planted in the house, and you know, we actually hear right now that, you know, especially in this kind of COVID era, a lot of people outside the four walls of church really emphasizing that as well, with so many different things happening physically and mentally with battles people are facing. Be a part of a community, you know, be planted somewhere. And really all they're doing is tracing it back to a biblical truth written many, many years ago in the Psalms, you know. Those who are planted with, you know, would grow up and they would be strong and firm and they would stand like oaks of righteousness. But Previn, I guess, why do you see that as being important, as being planted in the house or being planted in a community of faith?
I think probably Caitlin has spoken and said most of it, really. It's being part of a family of people who are pressing on towards loving each other and towards knowing Christ, which needs to be the central part of why we are here.
Yeah.
All of us focused on Christ, so that the next generation and the things that are going to come to pass are also central to what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And that's the main reason why I continue coming to church, is basically the focus on Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. And as a dad yourself, Previn,
yeah,
with three kids, and, you know, obviously that must play a big role in what you guys do. Maybe share a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's being a dad, it's not how can I say, there's no book that we can sit down and write and say, follow step one, step two, and everything will be okay. That's not how, even in the house of God, we will rub each other the wrong way, but we are brothers and sisters, and we need to treat each other as brothers and sisters. And as a dad, there's things in life that sometimes come to you that you're not prepared for. But one thing I've learned, there is power in prayer. Mm. Going down on your knees and praying. Because there's a lot of running around you can do. There's a lot of physical things that you can do. Mm. But I've learned to personally to go on my knees and pray. Because there's a lot of things that I do not have control of.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with us here. There's a lot of things we might want to look like we're in control. Mm. But we need to learn to go down on our knees and pray. Even for our church, just go down on our knees and pray. Because the things that Christ and the things that the Holy Spirit will do for us are far beyond the actions of any one of us in this place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what I basically do with my family. And it is sometimes, it is the weirdest things that the people who provoke the strongest feelings in you are the people you love the most and the people you are closest to.
Yeah.
And yes, sometimes those feelings are found even in the church community and in the house. So let's continue to pray. Christ died for us, and it is the main purpose that we're here. And it's a wonderful thing to be calling ourselves a family in Belmont and a family in Myrie, a family in Banbury, where you can go and just feel at home, because you can say, that's my brother, that's my sister.
Yeah, beautiful.
It is such a wonderful thing to have. And yeah, that's how I handle my
beautiful
my parenting, at least.
Awesome, Preben. Yeah. Arjun, before you touched on, obviously, for yourself not growing up in the house and then being discipled, but I guess when you reflect on legacy and you reflect on building our future, what does that look like for you when you close your eyes and you look for, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, you know, given the journey that you were on with being discipled, what do you see?
That's a good question. It's a very big question.
Yeah.
I guess for me, like, coming from my background, like, I was quite broken.
Yeah.
I was quite, I guess, hurt, didn't have that father figure around. Mum was always busy. And so, I guess for me, just like finding wholeness, finding family, finding friendship, finding God was what I needed. And so, I guess like for the future, 30, 40, 50 years from now, like having the church, you know, not just Nations Church and however many countries we might be by that point, and cities and all that, but the church being a place where, you know, the orphans can find their fathers and their mothers,
awesome.
Where people who are lost can find healing, and people who are lost can be found, and people who are broken and hurting can find healing and,
beautiful.
And wholeness. And, you know, being like, I'm a youth leader, so I've been doing it for like 8-9 years now. It's my 9th year. And so, yeah, I guess just like from the youngest to the oldest, from the children to the teenagers, especially in the community of Belmont, it's a rough time out there, you know, like, the adults, the young adults, the adults, the parents, the grandparents, you know, like finding a place where it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, like you can find friendship, you can find family, you can find mums and dads, you can find wholeness, you can find healing, you can find God.
Yeah, beautiful.
At the end of the day.
Awesome. And I'll just speak, because I feel like you have a grace on that when you spoke about before, but let me speak to the room about people who are in that position, maybe are a bit older, maybe have that father figure. What would you say to them? Maybe it's a mom, dad in the house. What do you say to those kind of people? Because for every, you know, person like yourself, Arjun, I imagine there'd be hundreds more out there across all our campuses. What do you say to those kind of people?
You have a lot more to offer than you think.
Yeah.
When I approached Michael, I was the nervous one, being like, there's something that you have that I want, but he's the one who asked me, so do you want to make this a regular thing? And so, like, that's what I wanted to ask, but he knew, like, that's the role that he, like, you know what I mean? And so, like, you know, grandparents, older parents, people of the older generation who have had kids, you've had a house or two or five, you know, you've had cars, you've been through all this stuff. Like, I would say, prime example, 9 a.m. Frank,
yep.
He's a great guy, the greatest guy. If you guys don't know Frank, he's been here for the longest time since we were, like, the church was founded, I think.
Yep.
And it's so encouraging every time he just pulls someone out and he just encourages them. You know, almost every Sunday I'm seeing him, he's just shaking someone's hand for a really long time, yeah. And he's just encouraging them and speaking life. But there's a lot of weight,
yes,
that has,
yeah,
coming from someone who's older.
Yeah.
And so for you who are older in the room, like, I would encourage you, like, take time, opportunities, whenever you can, to encourage those coming after you, encourage them in their giftings, encourage them in the things that God has. So then prophesy over them, use your spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
And if you feel as though you don't, or if you haven't awakened those spiritual gifts, God still has got breath in your lungs. So awaken those spiritual gifts. Start to pray. Start to prophesy. Start to declare life and truth and purpose over those following you. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Previn, why are you so passionate? Why are you excited about, I guess, building our future in this season that we have, that we're in right now?
I would say I'm passionate because I feel this is my house.
Yep.
I belong here, and I'm concerned with the house. If there's no sugar in the house, I am the one to run around and get the sugar.
Are you a tea drinker? Is that why you use that analogy? You love tea?
Yeah. I'm also concerned mainly for three things. One is growth. I need to see the house flourish and not die. I don't desire the house to perish within our hands.
Hmm.
To say we were in this church, and when those people took over, the church died.
Yeah.
It's not my desire, so I seek growth. Mm. Not only growth on the building, but growth in people.
Mm.
To see people and people flourish.
Yeah.
And not only have Gareth, but have more Gareths.
More Previns. That's what I want.
Not only have one PK, but have more PKs.
Mm.
So many. That's my desire, to see more and more agents, to see more and more of that. And number two is credibility. I seek this house so that we're credible. Mm. If we keep moving around, we lose credibility with our children. Mm. They won't take us seriously. We move from one church to another church. We lose credibility. So we gain credibility if we get rooted and we stay. Mm. The Bible says we shall be like trees that are planted by the rivers of water, giving off their fruit in and out of season.
Yeah.
That can only happen if one decides, I will root myself in this place, and when things are good or when things are bad, I will stay.
Mm.
That is how we will grow.
Mm.
And the other thing that I've found is I stay because of authenticity. That the word we preach is real.
Mm.
The Christ we save is real.
Mm.
So if we don't stay, the sinner will say, you guys don't even take your Jesus seriously. Why should I come to you? So we need to be authentic people. That when we go out there, we speak love, we speak true love.
Mm.
When we go out there and minister to people, we reflect the Christ that we're talking about, and be real and be genuine. That's why I stay, because I want Christ to be glorified.
Yeah, beautiful.
Which is the most important thing. That's why we are here. This building is not here because we're raising funds for the government, but we're raising the name of Christ.
Yeah, beautiful.
That is the most important thing.
Yeah,
we need to be authentic people.
Amen. Hey, could you give you guys a massive round of applause? Hey, I thought it would be really great. You know, so often we do pray over our next generation, but I thought it would be good for some of our younger generation to pray over us, pray a blessing over us. So would you stand to your feet really quickly? And Arjun, do you mind praying over us as a church? And if you're comfortable with it, will you just stretch your hands out to heaven just to receive this blessing?
Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, God, we thank you that you're in this place. God, we thank you that, God, from the youngest to the oldest, God, that you're here, God, that you're willing to move and meet with every single person, God. God, we thank you for building our future. God, we thank you for legacy. God, we thank you for the older generations, God, like Kathleen, God, like Jenny, God, like Frank, like other people, these older people who have gone before us and they've literally paved a way for us to be here, a building for us to be in, Father God. I thank you, God, for them, and I thank you, God, for the hard work that you've given, that they've put through, Father God. And I thank you, God, that you have honored it and that you have blessed it, Father God. And I thank you, God, that just as they've done their part, that the baton passes to us, God, to do our part, Father God. PK said this before, but the church is only one generation from extinction, Father God. So like Previn said, God, we don't want to be the people who drop the baton, who drop the ball, Father God, and let it stop with us. We ask, Holy Spirit, for your strength and your power to be people of legacy, Father God, to be people who sow, who throw seed, God, whether it falls on the path or it falls on the good soil, God. Let us be people who are constantly throwing seed, Father God. God, we thank you for building our future. God, we thank you for legacy. God, we thank you for this time that we get to be a vehicle and a conduit to actually sow into the people coming after us, God. Whether we're 15 and we're a teenager and we're that generation, God, or whether we're 80, God, it doesn't matter. God, let us be people who are constantly sowing into the next, God, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.